Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week we are talking about Esper commanders in CEDH. There's actually more than you would think that are kind of viable-ish, and we're going to compare them and rank them all against each other.
Exactly, yeah. So we're just going to get right into it. And do you have any questions before we get started?
I feel like you look really orange.
Oh, do I?
Hold on, I'm sorry.
We have been outside since the last one that we recorded, so did I get a tan?
I think that's better.
That was mine off then? And I just can't tell? Sorry, fuck this whole thing up. You ready to start again?
Yeah, let's do it.
Where should we? I'm supposed to introduce myself?
If you want.
Dylan, nice to meet you. Hi.
Hello, I'm Cameron.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
You already did your thing, right?
Yeah. Do you have any questions before we get started?
No. Wait, I'm supposed to say, I said the Esper thing. You said you're good.
And then I will come in after your Esper thing.
And action.
Line.
Think of something. Say something.
Oh.
Esper commanders. Come on now.
Wow. I'm having a disaster over here.
Me too.
Oh, shit. Thanks for making me feel better.
Both of us. Yeah, with the drop and stuff.
All right.
Let's talk about some Esper commanders in CDH.
Yes. Do you have any questions before we get started?
I don't think so. I feel like it doesn't feel like there are enough Esper commanders that we could talk about, but there are. There are actually quite a few. Esper is a pretty powerful shell because of the way that CDH works. There is a lot of four color piles that are utilizing all of the Esper tools. Timnachrom is an Esper deck with red. Timnathrasios is an Esper deck with green. That's important to note that the Esper shell of Thassa's Oracle with Demonic Consultation and Silence, counter spells to protect, the most efficient combo that you got, along with the silence effects that are really good right now. That's a good shell to be around. So we're going to talk about the Esper commanders, the part of that, the specific shell, although most often I would say we're adding a color and doing partners if we're going to be in this Esper-ish shell. Is that true? Is that fair? Is that safe?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I meant like commanders that are in Esper colors.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, yeah. I'm just talking about Esper as a general, like Esper
I
is.
I see, yeah. Okay. And those because I don't want all you at home to think that we're going to start talking about Thrasios, Timna, and then Timnachrom today.
No, sorry. Maybe there was a little bit of a divergent path. I was just saying that's the Esper shell.
But is the shell, yeah.
All of these commanders, whatever we're talking about, Tivit or whatever, they utilize this shell. If Thassa's Oracle, Demonic Consultation, Silence Effects, I feel like that's the shell, and it's just what they add to it.
Exactly, yeah. Each one of these commanders is going to have their own flavor, but you are absolutely right. Like, anytime that you add another color, you're usually still utilizing this shell, but just taking a couple of additional tools from that green or red that you're getting.
Right.
And you can even do a lot of these things within the five color strategies, which tend to either lean towards Esper or Grixis, depending on what they're trying to do. So this is still like 50% of what you could be doing in a five color deck if that's the direction you want to go.
100%. Yeah. So, like, each one of these commanders, like, you could add red for Underworld Breach, green for Mana Dorks, or Time Sieve for Tivit.
If you wanted to.
Yeah. That's the kind of the shells that we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So the first commander that we're going to talk about then is Xur the Enchanter.
Okay, once great.
Once great, yeah. This is one in Esper for a 1/4. Esper is white, blue, and black, by the way.
Yes.
I'm going to just say Esper for the rest of the video.
It also could be, what's the bird from the set where they're fighting and stuff in tuxedos? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, the New Capenna.
Yeah, New Capenna.
Yeah,
what is it called? Soprano? Nope. That's not even close.
Maestros is one of them, I want to say.
We're going to talk about one of them, I think, from that set.
We're going to talk about a couple of them from that
set,
at least.
But that's not the name of the actual place. I don't remember. Sorry.
Maybe it'll come up on the card.
Yeah, let's talk about Xur.
Let's talk about Xur. So Xur is one in Esper for a 1/4 legendary human wizard with flying, and when he attacks, you may search your library for an enchantment with mana value 3 or less and just put it onto the battlefield.
In many ways, this is kind of like a prototype to what the CDH format is now. The original decks of this, maybe not the original, but the ones that I remember popping off a lot 5 years ago in CDH was you'd find Necropotence, and then with Shimmer Mirror in the end step, you would create some sort of win condition, which is what we're doing now in CDH. We just have way better tools to do it.
Yeah, Shimmer Mirror has been upgraded like 15 times over the past like couple years. So now that we've gotten Born Upon the Wind and
Valley Flood Caller,
in addition to already having other tools like Final Fortune as like being another way that you can utilize Necropotence cards right away.
And even High Fae Trickster, is that the name of the card?
Yeah, now we have like inside of not just, I guess I shouldn't really be talking about Final Fortune.
This is Esper only, no red cards? Esper,
yeah,
what are you doing?
It's only, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, we're in Esper, yeah. So now like we have way better tools in order to be able to get Necropotence online already, and Xur just being able to get it for free off of just a trigger that can't be interacted with is really hard to interact with, I should say.
It was very good. It's just a little slow, I guess. You have to get all three Esper pips, and I think we'll notice that some of the other options are partners, which makes them a little bit easier or something like that. Some of them do have those extra pips, and it is an issue, but
it will be a thing that comes up consistently.
That's just a part of the issue of Xur, but Xur also doesn't do anything when it enters. You have to cast Xur, pass a turn, and get all the way to your turn. Everyone has a chance to know that you're about to do something, be aware of what's coming.
You ring these huge alarm bells when you cast them then. So, like, everyone has to plan their next turn around your Xur.
The consistency of basically Necropotence or Rhystic Study, if you want to, in your command zone is really good. It's too told. It's too foreseen.
It's
everyone
too telegraphed.
Let's
say that a couple of other ways.
I think that's a good idea. I'll keep on using synonyms and different words that mean the same things and stuff like that.
Great call.
So far, this is the best Esper commander that we've talked about today.
Exactly. Yeah, I ranked this
oh no.
Oh, how long do you think that's been going on for?
Oh brother, I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing ever goes wrong here.
What a flawless return.
Out of all the Esper commanders that we've talked about today, which is just Xur, Xur is the best. It will probably end up being near the bottom of our list. I give it a 2.
You're going to give him a 2?
I don't know. Realistically, I much prefer just ranking the things that we talk about against each other, above that, below that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because the number systems, it's a gut feeling. You can't translate them from episode to episode, so then sometimes when we rate things very, you know, it's tricky.
That's true. Yeah, I'm never going to, in another episode, say, well, we rated this card this in this episode, because we rate things based on the day, because that's how they are in our brains and at that time. And then if I play against any of these decks tomorrow and I fucking crush them, I'm gonna lower them in my mind.
Right, yeah. They're only relevant in relation to each other. When you're thinking about your top 10 movies of all time, top 10 basketball players, whatever, they're just rated against each other. So for me, the rating system, I just like rating against each other.
That's why I liked the doing weird shit like colors and stuff.
Okay, you want to go with colors for this one?
I
give this one a blue, white, and black.
Great. I want to give it that too. Yeah.
All right.
All right. So the next one that we're going to talk about then.
Can we? I got to make it so that you move, I think. Can you switch hands or something? Because you're like, you're so against the, away from the camera.
Yeah. The problem is that this is my dominant hand.
You can't. What would happen if you did try to do it like this?
I just can't type as well.
We should get other stands. Do you want to switch sides again? Because I feel like if you're faced away from the. Nothing ever goes wrong. Today's a little cursed. What's going on? Okay.
The first one that we did went great.
Yeah, that's why all the juju was in that one. We don't normally do two in a day. I'm tired mentally.
This is the second one. You know what's funny is that no one's going to know that either.
This one might even come out before that one. You don't know.
It might, yeah.
Just for solidarity, so I'll use my left hand with the microphone because I think I prefer with my right. So I'll try to make myself a little bit uncomfortable.
We'll be lefties this week.
Yeah, although... Are you a lefty?
Okay, so
you're a righty. But
I need my right hand to be mobile on my mobile phone.
On the phone. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can't do any phone stuff with your left hand.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I'm way more used to using my right thumb, which is why my right thumb hurts way more than my left thumb all the time.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But that's also because of like Mouse.
Yeah, Mouse. Oh, Mouse. Okay. Sure. Mouse. I think I feel like my left hand hurts more because I don't use it as much. Like my right one, it does so much stuff.
Yeah.
The muscles are huge. But my left one, whenever it does something, it's like,
Oh, that's
it's so heavy.
Please don't get me involved.
I can't. I'm sprained. I can't. I'm cramping. Okay, sorry. Okay. What's the next one?
Oh my God. We've only talked about one card. All right, the next one is Yshtola.
Yes.
Knight's Blast.
Final Fantasy, new one. Yeah. Haven't seen a lick of play yet, but we've hypothesized.
Yes, exactly. We're going to hypothesize where it is. Yeah. So Yshtola is... Oh, I got to look up Yshtola.
It has 100 words on it. How many words do you think this one has on it? Someone will count. I want to say this one has not that many, but I want to say over 50.
I would say over 50, yeah. All right, here. This is what I'm going to do. I just pulled up Scryfall before. This is a way better way to do it.
You don't have
I'm
Scryfall?
Just gonna look for legendary. No, I do. I just like I'm gonna do an advanced search so that I can look for all legendary creatures. Thank you.
You ever see that LL Cool J thing? He's like talking into two microphones, but he's got like a bunch of deodorant on.
What's the deal with that? Why deodorant?
I don't know. I think he just lathered up and he used two microphones and I don't know.
And he just, oh, okay.
You never saw that?
No, I've never seen that. No, I've never.
That felt kind of important.
Yeah. I feel like there was a LL Cool J and deodorant shaped hole missing in my soul and now it's filled. Well, it will be once I Google that later.
Yeah, once you Google that later.
Oh, but shoot, but I can't because
Don't turn away from the camera.
Yeah, exactly. I have to have this going this way. Okay. Yshtola, Knight's Blessed, is one in Esper for a 2/4 cat warlock legend with vigilance. And at the beginning of each end step, if a player lost 4 or more life this turn, you draw a card. And whenever you cast a non-creature spell with mana value 3 or greater, Yshtola deals 2 damage to each opponent and you gain 2 life. Here's something that I want to say about Yshtola that we didn't talk about last time we talked about her, at least last time since we recorded. You know, she attacks for 2 and deals damage that way.
Bingo.
So you only have to cast like 1 spell on your turn for it to replace itself.
For her to cantrip on your turn at least every time.
So that's kind of nice at least.
What is it you're growing off of? Non-creatures?
Off of non-creature spells with mana value 3 or greater.
3 or greater.
So if you attack and then Rhystic Study, though, you replace Rhystic Study right away.
Yeah. Okay, sure. This one, I think, has a lot of hype around it. The more I think about it, the less I'm interested in it.
Because it's also, like, the most lame one to come out of the Final Fantasy set.
It's potentially passive card draw, which is really good. It's 4 mana, which is a lot for passive card draw.
But I feel like it incentivizes you to play in a way that extends the game to a point where someone else is going to win before you have the opportunity to.
Right, yeah.
Something we'll notice with all of these Esper decks, really, is that they'll feel clunky at times because you don't have access to all of the explosive mana that, like, red and green kind of has access to.
Yeah.
Some of these decks, you could play Dark Ritual and Cabal Ritual, but a lot of them won't because they're not always trying to, like, speed out things in the same way. Maybe Xur is with the ability to just, like, focus in on Necro, I guess.
Xur is just another one that just my brain is tricked by it. I think I've lost to Xur too many times 5 years ago, and on paper, it feels just like exactly what we're trying to do right now in CDH, which is get Necro out early. But like, it's actually quite difficult to get the Necro out early because the fastest you can get Xur out is like realistically turn 2.
And
more often than that, probably turn 3 or something.
Do you really care about Xur at that point though? Like, because if this is the turbo deck at the table, like you're focusing in on them, and then Xur has time to like sneak in, and then by the time you've used your resources on the other turbo player, like they can get their uncounterable Necro.
It certainly might just be like a recency thing that there have been a whole bunch of other better Esper commanders printed, or maybe not better, but just like newer Esper commanders printed in the last few years. And what they do is draw slow cards and let you grind value, which is really what Esper as a shell is like better suited to do.
Because again, you're slower, you're clunkier, you need the ability to keep up with the game, whether that's make sure you have interaction or make sure you have mana to cast the spells that you're drawing.
Like, exactly.
Card advantage is the most important thing for all of these Esper commanders to have.
Right, and all of them have that card advantage. It allows them to play a little bit slower, draw cards over time. It doesn't force them into a Xur type. Although, Zura can find Ristic Study. You can
like,
do the same
Zura
thing if you
want.
Like,
Zura is card advantage. Because, yeah. like, it either finds the win yeah. or it finds the card advantage that you need. You could technically do, like, a no-necro build of yeah. Zura, and you can just, like, use that as a political point, and maybe you'll be able to get in more often.
I think just the fact that it doesn't do anything the turn that it comes in is just so bad.
But he does something on his own, which I think
That's
I would
good.
Put Zura over Yshtola right now.
Yeah.
Because, again, he does something on his own. What he does on his own is more powerful. I'm not incentivized to put so many bad cards in my deck. Like, Zur works so well with cards that are already good.
Necro, Ristic, Mystic. You're not going to attack more than three times.
Mirror Maid now, even, yeah. to get a second Ristic Study
sure.
if you get to that grindy
second
point,
Necro
right?
Bones.
Yeah, second Necro Bones.
I pay five life over here and five life over here.
I skip two draw steps now. But, like, Yshtola, I feel like you're going to want to put a lot more three and higher mana value cards in your
yeah.
deck to try to get the trigger off and be like, oh, yeah, I can play...
Submerge.
Misdirection.
Or is Submerge working? You need a forest. They need a forest.
They need a forest. Yeah. So like you could play Submerge. You go, oh, great. Yeah, I could Submerge. You still need another fucking spell.
Yeah.
Like, not only that, but like they need to have damaged themselves some other
and
way.
And then you're
like,
playing Submerge.
And then you're playing Submerge. And then they play around it because they know that, oh, I've dealt one damage to myself. I can't do anything else this turn. I'm going to fetch, not shock, and just leave it at that or something.
Yeah, I wonder, you get in this like thought cycle of like you want to be doing turbo necro stuff, so you go to Zur, but then you realize that the best way to do turbo necro stuff is use the red cards instead, so you hop off Zur. And if your mind doesn't go down that path of turbo Zur and you want to grind, the other ones offering the passive card draw is a little bit better than Zur because Zur's too slow. Either way, I think I'm kind of with you that I like Zur more than I like Yshtola, but I haven't seen Yshtola play out. I may see that card play out and go, whoops, I was wrong. This card's better than I thought.
All right, so I was going in backwards alphabetical order.
Okay.
But I threw this one in right now because
yeah.
this is
no
what
one,
I thought of this
we
one.
We didn't know the order you were going in until you brought it up.
Oh, so. Shit. Well, I guess I biffed that. All right, well, let's talk about Marnius Kalgar
yeah.
then right now. This is 2 and Esper for a 3-5 Astaris Warrior with double strike, and he's a master tactician, which means that whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, you draw a card. And he also is a chapter master, really good at reading. 6 mana means that you can create 2/2 white Astaris Warrior creature tokens with vigilance.
This one to me is realistically in a lot of ways kind of better Tivit. I don't know if that's really true.
We don't know what Tivit is.
We don't know what
Tivit
is
yet.
Sorry.
Yet.
Yeah. What Marnius is doing a lot is using a lot of tokens. Using a lot of tokens really well. Using them as card advantage and then eventually turning that into a win. There's things that you can do with the zombie that sacrifices a creature to make a treasure token that would draw you a card every time you make a treasure token. That's really good.
The name of that card is Warren Soul Trader.
Yes.
Which is cracked in that deck, and it goes infinite with this card that says Thopters you control get +1/+1, and whenever you make a token, instead make those tokens plus an additional Thopter artifact.
Okay,
so you
it's
can
like a Chatterfang for Thopters.
Basically, yeah. So you can sacrifice that Thopter then to that, and you get to make another treasure. So you can make infinite treasure this way. Or
was there a gain life somewhere in there? Because the Warren Soul Trader, you lose a life every time.
Then it's not infinite.
But
then.
It's like probably make 30 treasures, draw 30 cards.
Which
or
is
going to
be really good, yeah.
Or more than that, draw 60 cards because you make, or is it, you make a 2 Thopters? Or is it a Thopter and a Thopter?
You make an additional 1/1 Thopter to whatever tokens you're making. So it creates a replacement effect.
So it's one Marnius
instance.
Draw. Because Marnius draws every time one or more tokens enter.
Yes.
But every instance of one or more.
I learned this because I was playing against Marnius the other day with a Tali, and I flipped into that Thopter
the
maker.
The Thopter one that we don't know the name of, but it's on screen.
I also flipped into a Phyrexian Metamorph, but a Tali got bounced. So when it came in, I had to choose Marnius. So I had this going, and I also had a Lotho then, too.
Oh.
So between that, every time Lotho made a treasure, I would get a treasure, a 1/1, and then Marnius would draw me a card.
Yeah, that's really good.
That was really good, yeah. So it does, it's a replacement effect. So even though you make multiple artifact tokens, you still...
It's one instance,
get
one card
one
draw.
Instance of card draw with Marnius.
But with something like Amphibian Downpour, which we talked about recently, the
yep.
Storm copies, each Storm copy resolves, makes a token, and then the next one resolves, makes a token. Each one of those is a card draw.
Yeah, exactly. You get to get a lot of really good value out of Rev, the new 4-drop. That's just like an even better Grim Hireling, basically.
Sure.
This is different than Grim Hireling, but you play both. Still play both.
Yeah. It just gives you cards from your opponents. It gives you token. What is it? What is the token that it gives you?
You get treasures and cards from your opponents. It's so confusing when like you have that. Those are cards that your opponents don't see, but then other times like you get to steal cards that you do see from your opponent. It's wild how many good CEDH cards create tokens and how impactful treasures have become, so that it just keeps making Marnius better and better as we get more things that work with tokens and work with treasures.
You know, and I'm putting you on the spot here now, because I should know this too, what the line is to win with Marnius with Infinite besides the Warren Soul Trader, because I know you can press the button to make a token and draw if you make Infinite Colorless Mana?
On him, yeah. On him, you make two tokens and that lets you draw one card. So if you have Infinite Mana, put it into him and draw your deck.
Is there a line you know that Marnius uses to make Infinite Colorless and Esper Colors that I can't think of right now? I hate to put you on the spot. There probably is. I just can't. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is off the top of my head either. Because like the other win conditions they have, like all of these have like Thassa's Oracle and Demonic Constitution stuff. But Marnius players usually put Tivit in their deck.
And with Time Sieve also.
And Time Sieve, right? Because they're making so many artifacts with like Smothering Tithe and Lotho and all that kind of stuff, right? So they have so many ways that they can go off with Time Sieve, like almost even without Tivit. But like it just allows them to have that as an access to. So there's really a lot of different ways they can win the game. I don't know if they even have the infinite mana outlet for Marnius.
I think
it's
just right.
Like incidental.
I don't know that I've ever seen a Marnius player actually generate infinite mana. They're normally doing something with Time Sieve or something like that. I'm going to take four extra turns or something and they eventually win with just Thoracle or whatever.
Because
right?
all of those cards can be good on their own. Getting a Tivit in play is just good on its own. Getting Time Sieve out when you're already like so synergistically making all these artifacts is so good on its own, right? So like instead of having to play these like other weird pieces, you can just play these cards and just make your overall game plan that much better.
Yeah, Marnius's only real issue is it's slow. Marnius is 5 mana.
Yeah.
You have to already have a token thing going because you probably want to cantrip with it like right away. So like, you want to make a token with it the turn Marnius comes out, I got to imagine.
So it's a very controlling deck for that reason.
It's a controlling deck. It's a slow deck. You got to stay alive. You got to make it till turn 3 or whatever. That's its only downside. But if you can do that, its late game potential is huge. Better than Ystola. Better than Xur. It's probably one of the best Esper commanders right now, if not the best.
That we'll get to. Yeah, exactly. Well, we might as well talk about Tivit since we already brought him up.
Yeah.
And Tivit is 3 and Esper for a 6/6 legendary Sphinx Rogue with flying in Ward 3. And the Council's dilemma is that whenever Tivit enters the battlefield or deals combat damage to a player, starting with you, each player votes for evidence or bribery. For each evidence vote, you investigate, and for each bribery vote, you create a treasure token. And while voting, you may vote an additional time.
Normally, this makes you, what is it, 2 treasures, and your opponents give you 3 clues, right?
Normally, right. Yeah, until you get to the point where
it's been so long, I feel like I don't see Tivit at all anymore.
Yeah, I don't really see Tivit too much anymore. Yeah, but you want to give them clues because you want to bottleneck them on mana until they have so much mana that it doesn't matter, that you want to start giving them more mana than extra resources and draws.
I think once they have so many clues, they're not going to be able to crack all those clues anyway, so you switch and you can start giving them clues, but the game is normally
close
to the end at that point. I haven't seen a lot of Tivit recently because I think most of the Tivit players probably switched over to Marnius and put Tivit in the 99 there. It seems like Marnius is just like a little bit more set up to do what the good CDH cards and Esper Colors want to do right now.
Which is weird, because that like kind of turned your one card win condition with Time Sieve into now a 2 card thing that you have to find in your deck. And it was kind of nice with Tivit that you just needed to get Time Sieve out and then you just keep attacking. And then every time you attack, you make 5 tokens. And then as long as you were strategic in how you were leaving opponents alive so they could all keep voting and giving you 5 treasures, then you could take out the table that way.
Yeah, I think just the best argument against the efficiency of what Tivit offers is Marnius just draws you more cards at a better rate.
And I think that win condition also ended up proving to be pretty poor in tournaments when we started to go into time a lot too. Because once you end the turn, if time is called in the round, you can't take an extra turn. That is it. So if you were unable to win, but like technically you have this loop, like that's just a downside of how tournaments are run. So like, or not even how tournaments are run, it's just a downside of the win condition condition of the deck. So you would just have to make sure that you could win within the allotted time, which got super hard in the metagame where Tivit was actually really good.
And I still think Tivit is pretty good. Want to remind, and on the record, I have always hated this card, Tivit. I don't think it's good.
I despise this card. If I built Marnius, I would build it sans Tivit.
I don't know about that. I just don't like Tivit as a commander. Six mana feels 1,000 for what it does. It feels the rate that it gives you is just kind of shitty. Whereas Marnius, the ceiling is like nutty. You have like a Rhystic Study on crack sometimes, which is just insane. So I think Tivit is certainly worse than Marnius, but I still think it's probably out the gate better than Ystola.
And Xur, I have to say too. Yeah. I have to give credit where credit is due. As much as I just don't like Tivit personally,
I think it's still a decent deck.
Yeah, I have to understand that it was a tournament mainstay for quite a while. And even right now, it's still quite a powerful thing. It's just there's better things that we could be doing now that there's more better cards that have been printed for other Esper commanders now, if you want to be doing just these colors.
All this stuff is going to change so much because whichever commander gets more toys, that's the commander that's going to do well because their card quality is just improving.
That's true.
And Marnius is just like a lot of the token makers that we've mentioned came out in the last 2 or 3 years. A lot of Universes Beyond things make tokens. Marnius is used as well.
And Modern Horizon stuff too makes tokens. They like to make tokens. Yeah. Well, the Master of Keys is next. This is X and Esper for a 3/3 flying horror. Oh, it's also an enchantment creature too.
Relevant. I thought about this one for
I was good, Terra. Just about to ask.
Yeah, but I don't think it's actually good.
Each enchantment in your graveyard has escape though.
With Food Chain, you make the infinite creature mana, so it's still
you're right.
It doesn't actually do anything.
But you still I can cast Overlord of the Balemark now for my graveyard.
Right, yeah, but you could just do the Overlord of the Balemark.
Yeah, that's so dumb. All right, so flying, whenever Master of Keys enters, put X +1/+1 counters on it and mill twice X cards, and each enchantment in your graveyard has escape, and the escape cost is equal to the card's mana value plus exile 3 other cards from your graveyard. You may cast cards from your graveyard for their escape cost.
This one does a couple things that are cool. One, it's huge. It's a huge flyer.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that it does, but that is something that it does.
It fuels itself, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it mills for a lot. It's not too difficult to X's 3 and mill yourself for 6 cards. That's the cost of a Tivit, you know what I mean? It's not too hard to achieve.
There's also an infinite mana outlet, too. If you put infinite mana into them and then, like, mill your whole deck, you can set up wins with Dread Return and Thassa's Oracle to just, like, easily take it from there.
Yeah, there's Displacer Kitten with Lurrus and Lotus Petal, which is an infinite resetting of Lurrus, so you can recast Lotus Petal over and over again, make 1 billion mana, and dump it into your commander.
Dump it!
There's a couple of cool things you can do.
That's about it, is what I have to say about it.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that you could do.
Yeah, I think this one's just like a little too spicy for it to have ended up being good. Like, again, you were incentivized to start playing a lot of not as good cards in your deck. Like, Dressdown has seen a huge decline in CEDH in general, and I think that this is one of the better dress down decks because, like, every turn you can dress down, and now your commander doesn't do anything else for the rest of the turn, and now, like, your win conditions don't do anything else because you were trying to Thassa's Oracle. So, like, I think there's a limit to the good stuff that it can do, and you have to put yourself in really weird scenarios for, like, the infinite turn loops to go off. Like, all of the other enchantments that I've seen that you can realistically, like, return into play at your upkeep, like, you have to have 5 life or something. It just puts you in these precarious situations that I don't think are really safe or good.
I agree. I think it's a little too slow, and I think the slower commanders like Marnius and Tivit just do a little bit more on their own and don't have to rely on the what you mill over. And I know this one really doesn't care too much about what you're milling over because you're looking for, like, either infinite mana or just being able to get something back that you can put there. The things that it makes good that you want to play are just not things that are naturally good in CDH.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely worse than Marnius and Tivit. Is it worse than Xur?
Realistically, no, but I think yes.
I'm going to say it's worse than Xur.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's worse than Xur.
I think it's worse than Xur. Because Master of Keys, sure, I can mill a bunch, but if I don't find the enchantment that I want, I'm, like, value getting back some shit.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Xur's
Xur
just going to get me.
It.
Yeah, Xur guarantees whatever enchantment I want. I don't have to cast it and pay an additional cost.
Yeah, and you still have to pay pip. You still have to pay that mana cost.
Have to pay the mana cost anyway, yeah. So I'm going to say that Master Keys is worse than Xur. Is it better than Ystola?
Probably not, right?
Master Keys is worse than Ystola.
Ystola at least provides passive card draw, which is nice. A lot of this is going to come down to these decks are all very similar, and it's really your play style. However you want to play the game is going to be the one that you should go with if you want to play Esper. But just ranking on like gut feeling and like how well these decks do when we play against them and how well they do in tournaments, yeah, I would say this one is for me.
I think that makes sense. I think that makes sense. Okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Our next commander is actually a commander pair.
A pair.
This is Timna Malcolm.
Timna Malcolm.
Is the next one, yeah. So we all know Timna. One, a white and a black for a 2/2 that has lifelink. And at the beginning of your second main phase, you may pay X life, where X is the number of opponents that were dealt damage, and draw X cards. And Malcolm is 2 and a blue for a 2/2 flying siren pirate. That whenever a pirate deals damage to a player, you create a treasure token.
Yeah, it's pirate deck. No, it's not a pirate deck.
It's not as much of a pirate deck as a Grixis version because you don't have access to the
Ragavan and the Red Pirates and stuff.
And the Glinthorn Buccaneer, which is the one card combo with Malcolm, yeah.
Realistically, Malcolm is just, it attacks and makes a treasure.
The synergy of having both mana and card advantage in the command zone on 3-mana commanders is just really good.
For a while, I would have said that this deck, this Timna Malcolm, is like the top CDH Esper list right now. You just get to play like just good cards. You just get to play the good cards, and you get to play draw and mana in the command zone. I'm not sure right now, to be honest. I'm not sure. I think it's in the top three for sure, but I do think there is a world where Marnius is a little bit better.
There is a point where synergy starts to overpower just like good cards at some point, which I guess is something that maybe we don't say enough on the show, but like that's why decks like Magda end up being so good, is not because it only plays the good mono red cards. Like it's so synergistic that it can just like take over games with the amount of powerful stuff that it can do. Marnius is one of those decks that also is super synergistic like that, where the sum of all of their parts work out to be so much greater than just like what a stack of good cards in Timna Malcolm end up looking like.
Yeah, definitely. Timna Malcolm is certainly more on the side of, like you said, a stack of good cards. These are, if you want to play the stack of good cards, if you're new to CDH, Timna Malcolm is great.
Great way to go.
Great way to go. It's, I don't want to say simple, but like you're doing regular magic stuff. You're just like casting spells, making mana, drawing cards, winning the game.
And it's the easiest one of these decks to like utilize like their commander stuff for like Fierce Guardianship and Mox Amber then too. Like these are cards you can realistically play if you want.
Right.
I mean, you can in a lot of these other decks.
I want to say that it's overall worse than Marnius.
I like it more than Tivit.
I think I like it more than Tivit right now. I think it's probably second to Marnius right now, which is still kind of strange to say, but Marnius is just good.
Well, then where would you put Timna Sakashima, which does the same thing, except that Sakashima is 3 and a blue for a 3/1 that copies a creature that you control when it enters and says that the legend rule doesn't apply to that creature.
Two Timnas. I used to love this deck a lot. I played this a few times. I think the deck is really sweet. Overall, I realistically don't think that it's great. Not that it's not great. I just think that the treasures, the Malcolm, is kind of just like oftentimes better. What I really liked about this deck is I thought it was a really good stack strategy, but over time, stacks has kind of been proven to really not be that good. Doubling up on any of your stacks pieces, if you can get there, is huge. If you can double up on Sanctum Prelates or Archon of Emyrias or stuff like that, that makes it really hard for your opponent to get out of the game, but it also can make it tricky for you to win the game too. It's better in CDH to be aggressive, to try to win yourself, to do something that's going to push yourself win. We're not in a battle. We're not in a free-for-all. I know it feels like that sometimes. We're in a race. We are not sharing any space. We're not sharing any area. We are all independently doing our thing. The fact that our things overlap sometimes only should be used to make sure that you win before your opponents, but it's a side effect of what's happening. It's not the goal of what's going on.
Plus, like the downside of Timna can really come into play sometimes, like if you can't get in, and then if you have two Timnas that can't get in, like you're getting no value, where at least like the flying on Malcolm will consistently make sure that there's a player that you can get in at like 90% of the time to keep your value engine going. Like I feel like a lot of times Timna Sakashima can just get stopped and just walled off.
100%. This is a deck that like really sucks Toxic Deluge. Like your whole thing,
Christ,
at least, the list that I was playing was really heavy on creatures. You know what I mean?
God, like, I think this is the worst deck we've talked about.
This
so
is
far.
Probably the worst deck. I do have have a soft spot in my heart for it, and I think it can be very flexible. Having a clone in the command zone is awesome, but realistically, if I want to compare it to all of these other strategies that we've talked about, it's the worst one we've talked about so far.
Do you want to get the last partner pair out of the way?
Yes.
Tevish and Ishai.
Oh, sure. Humility.
This is a humility deck. Yeah, it works out nicely because humility, turning all of the creatures in play into 1/1s with no abilities, like, kind of makes a lot of stalemates happen, but you can get around that stalemate in this deck because Tevish can consistently make more 1/1s now than your opponents are going to be able to.
Yep.
And Ishai, before you get the humility out, is able to accrue a bunch of +1/+1 counters to help you get in for a bunch of damage, so that instead of getting walled off by a bunch of like creatures in play, Ishai can now like plow through boards.
Yeah, so even if Ishai is turned into a creature with no abilities, the +1/+1 counters stay on, so
exactly,
it still remains
yeah.
huge. We didn't talk about what these commanders do. Tevish has 1,000 words.
Ooh, that's
have that
true,
one memorized
yeah.
too.
So Tevish is 4 and a black, and he comes in with 5.
I think 5 loyalty.
I think 5
and
loyalty.
And he can plus
yeah.
for 2 or for 1?
Yeah, because the +2, he might come in with 4 loyalty. At 5 mana, he might come in with 4 loyalty. Because I think he +2s to 6.
Okay.
Which is +2 ability makes 2/01 thralls.
I think he pluses on, he pluses to odd numbers, doesn't he? Because doesn't he ult at 10 and he stays alive? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Man, I was doing so good at not having to look up.
You're probably right. I'm probably questioning you for no reason. Maybe I'm just +1ing him so he ends up on odds whenever I've cast him.
4.
4.
It is
you're
4.
Right.
He
you're
comes
right.
in
I'm
with
sorry.
4.
He
yeah.
pluses 2s and +1s. Okay.
Yeah. +2s is creates 2/01 black thralls.
Which are now upgraded to 1/1s with
exactly.
humility out.
Yeah. His +1, you're probably used to doing because you played him with Rograk a lot, and you'd sacrifice a creature to draw 2 cards, but if that creature was a commander, you draw an additional card.
3 cards.
3 cards. That is really good. Yeah. And then for -10, you gain control of all commanders, whether they're in play or from the command zone, and you have them now.
Such a powerful card on its own. It's just like a planeswalker that can get attacked all the time. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like just
it gets
all
kept
hits
in
come
check
at it. Yeah.
so consistently because nobody wants to just give you their commander.
Right, but the abilities that it has are so strong. That deck, that Ishai deck, I don't really see a ton of it. Humility is another one of these cards that, although yes, theoretically is quite powerful, doesn't actually help you win the game.
He gets boyoyoyoinged right back to your hand, and then what are you going to do? Right. Now you just lose the game because they get unlocked on their turn.
All your opponents just get to wait until the perfect moment. There's all the tempo is like lost. Like you have to be able to capitalize on it very quickly, I think, to be able to actually kill the players that matter.
And the problem is having a bunch of 1/1 counters on a creature and making more 1/1s does not really get you there.
It's not a fast enough clock.
It really isn't. Yeah, like you gotta utilize Tevish's minus ability to help get you through more cards in that case. Otherwise, you're just not going to finish the game quick enough, because unlike a lot of these other commanders that we talked about that have like other win conditions that work well within their deck that they can give you access to, there is not that here. It's just some value and like a little bit of synergy amongst a good stuff deck.
Right, yeah. So if you love humility, this is the deck for you. This is the only deck that realistically can play humility in CDH. Ultimately, Stax decks are going to be much lower in power. I'm going to say this one, for me, is lower than Timna Sakashima.
You think this is worse than Timna? Yeah,
because Timna's so
in Timna. Yeah,
Timna's insane.
I forgot about that, that Timna was in that deck. Yeah, all right. So then this is now officially the new worst deck that we've talked about so far.
Yes.
So now the next one is, I only included this because I've seen this twice relatively recently.
Okay.
I do not know how good it is. I will say I lost to it, but that's because I will say that pod also went off the rails. This just cost Esper, Sephiroth of the Hidden Ways. Just Esper for a 2/3 legendary human wizard. Whenever one or more creature cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, venture into the dungeon. But this ability triggers only once each turn. Whenever you complete a dungeon, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So really what this does is actually end up providing you with like a lot of different value. Like it makes removing Sephiroth's creatures that are actually like getting them through the dungeons even more quickly. It makes you not want to interact with them. So that means that like Archon of Emyria sticks around for the most part.
Huh.
And there's a lot of other creatures. Like what's the name of that fucking commander that Christian played that was the blue black initiative deck?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
That's the dungeon that you venture into is the initiative one. So like you have a lot of different ways to like make the initiative.
Wait, but the commander doesn't initiate you into the initiative. It puts
but whenever one or more creature cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, venture into the dungeon. So Sephiroth does fuel you through the dungeon once you're already in it.
But ideally you want to get into the other, because if you just do this blank, you'll go into one of the 3 random dungeons that suck, right? Because you're not gaining the initiative. When you venture into the dungeon from zero, you go into one of those three shitty dungeons. But if you do the initiative thing first, you go into that dungeon, and then when you venture, you go you stay through that one.
So if I'm in one of the other dungeons and then I take the initiative, I'm now in two dungeons.
Is that true?
That's what it sounds like to me. Like, because how would I be able to, or does the initiative just progress you through the current dungeon that you're in? Because if the initiative just progresses you through the current dungeon that you're in, then that's still fine. You can still take the initiative.
We can see what the initiative says.
What's the name of the good ones from Legacy?
Dude, the white one that's 3 mana, the white one that's 4 mana. What are they called? I don't know.
How do you spell initiative?
I-N? I don't know.
I did I-N-I-T-I-T-I-V-E.
Dude, something with
but that's not it.
White Plume Adventurer.
White Plume Adventurer.
I said it first, but it wasn't into the microphone.
Damn. No, you said it. I didn't say it into the microphone either. White Plume Adventurer. Like, you want to get this one at first. Once you initiative, you venture through anything. But what happens when you are in another dungeon?
It just says you take the initiative on White Plume Adventurer.
There should be a token. There is an initiative token you can click on.
Oh, yeah. You can't enter this dungeon unless you venture into the Undercity.
But what happens when you're already in another dungeon? I know what happens when you're in no dungeon, whichever one first you go into. If you're in the initiative dungeon, venturing through the dungeon means you continue through the dungeon.
If you aren't in a dungeon when instructed to venture into the Undercity, you will put Undercity into the command zone and move your venture marker. If you're already in a dungeon when instructed to venture into the Undercity, you move to the next room of that dungeon.
Okay. So,
okay.
Yeah. So if you're already in a dungeon, you just continue to go through the dungeon that you're in,
no matter
what.
Which is technically not a problem then, because it just like helps you, it still helps you progress to what you want to do. And then once you complete a dungeon for the first time, that unlocks Sephiroth's next ability, and then you can start getting your creatures back for value.
Yeah, it's slow, it's grindy, it's a stack deck.
It's really slow, grindy, yeah. And it stacks.
It's going to have a hard time winning tournaments, but I have seen this deck do a couple things.
Like,
for sure.
Getting the initiative is a lot of value. You get free mana, free creatures, free looks at more cards, like, going through the Undercity is actually a really good spot to be.
It's just slow normally, and if you can
if
you can slow the game down to take advantage of that, that can be great. But if the game is over by turn 3 or 4 or 5, then that you don't get a chance to actually use those things.
So I know I've lost to this deck, but I've lost to a lot of the decks on this list.
Yeah.
I think this is the worst deck that we've talked about so far.
You think it's worse than Tevye? Yeah, it's worse than Tevye Jedi.
I don't necessarily know that all of the sum of this deck's parts are greater than.
Yeah, but this is certainly one that, like, if we get another initiative set or if we get another dungeon set, maybe this one gets a little bit better.
Yeah, because the problem with some of these is that, like, Sephiroth is parasitic because it only works with stuff from those sets. And, like, until we go back to more of that stuff, we're not going
to
get
it. It's not going to continue to get generically powerful cards like
some
of the other decks will.
Which means that we have to go back to D&D until we venture into dungeons again, it seems.
There's got
to
be other IPs that go into dungeons, no? No, probably not, right?
I guess there are. Dungeon.
What if we, like, do a Shrek thing? There's dungeons in Shrek, right?
Are there dungeons in Shrek?
I feel like they're in a dungeon-type place.
Maybe seen so castle. Much Shrek 1 and not enough of Shrek 2, the
but
third,
what's a, what's
four,
a dungeon?
Five.
Is a dungeon like it's a cave?
You know what? Maybe if we do anything with, like, the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah,
there's
dungeons
some
in there?
Dungeon and adventuring, so, like, there could be something with venturing into the dungeon in that. Okay.
Okay.
Because I think we're going to see it in other IPs before we see.
No, we're going back to D&D soon, I'm sure.
I think that with Universes Beyond coming into standard, I think we're going to do a lot more purchasing other IPs and staying within Wizards IPs.
Yeah, that's true. I guess
the excitement for a new IPs and new worlds to go to, I think, is way too
D&D.
Heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
They've already made money from D&D players. We need to make money from
all the
Elder
other
Scrolls
stuff.
Players
yeah.
and from
I agree
from
with you
soft
that.
Game players. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about another card.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about another deck that sucks?
Yes.
Rafine, Scheming Seer. This also is Esper for a 1/4 Sphinx Demon with flying and ward 1. And whenever you attack, target attacking creature connives X, where X is the number of attacking creatures. And to connive, you draw X cards, and then discard X cards, and put a +1/+1 counter on that creature for each non-land discarded this way.
So this one is another slow. It's kind of like the dungeon one we talked about, where it works pretty well with creature-based strategies, pretty well with stacks-based strategies.
But I think it works better with cards that are already good in CEDH.
Yeah.
Like, pumping up your Esper Sentinel so that it has 4 +1/+1 counters on it, and now the first non-creature spell that each one of your opponents casts costs 5 or you draw a card. Like, there's a lot more synergy with those kind of good cards than like, oh, now I have to play a bunch of initiative creatures that are 3 right. and 4 mana.
It certainly incentivizes you to play more better cards, I think, than even Tim Nasakashima does, where like, you're right, it incentivizes you to just like play better cards, I think, which is a good spot for a CD tick to be. It just, it's still slow. And when I say better cards, not like the best cards, it still incentivizes you to attack a bunch, which isn't very good.
Yeah, but it at least comes with card advantage attached to it as well, or at least card selection, where you can even say, well, maybe I want to do like reanimator stuff too, because I'm able to start looking at so many cards. There are times you can set this up and you can be really surprised at how many cards you're seeing with one single connive trigger.
Yes, but it's important to note that it's not card advantage. It's card selection.
That's the thing. It is card selection, right? Yeah.
And you're not in breach colors. And yeah, you are in reanimation colors, but like,
that's not good. You have to, realistically.
Reanimator is good when entomb is good, when the effect that you're doing is entombing it into the graveyard. Yeah. But when you have to naturally find the Razaketh, yeah, maybe what if you did a bunch and you draw 8 cards? Yeah, that's not really enough to reliably find your one demon, right?
No,
you have to play a bunch of reanimation targets. And although that's fun, that's not good, because now you have a bunch of reanimation targets.
And this whole creature strategy is also against what Yawgmoth's Will kind of wants to do,
right.
So it's not even like you can be fueling up for some big Yawgmoth's Will thing.
It kind of pushes and pulls at some spots that isn't ideal or great.
If you like combat damage, like, I feel, I don't even know if I can recommend it if you like combat damage. Like, I feel like this was just a commander that we tried out because it was around, but like, because
it's close.
It's from the same time period as Tivit, and Tivit just completely outshone what this deck could do. And maybe if Tivit wasn't around, we would have cared about this one a little bit more, given it a little bit more love and attention, and it could be something a little bit more, but I don't really think that it is.
Yeah, and we did get our asses beat. We've gotten our asses beat by most of these cards, but we've gotten our ass beat by this one on the channel before. When it's good, it's nutty.
When it's good, it's good. But yeah, like,
the consistency that
when did we get our ass beat? Like, was it
Dragon
in the set review channel?
No,
or?
It was when we played against Dragon Shield.
Oh god. Yeah. I feel like what happens with a lot of these, like the Rafines and the Sephiruses, is that when the games get weird and they get really long, that's when they take over and they get really good. But you have to be able to set that up, and there's so much that can go wrong in that time.
Yeah, so I'm going to say this is probably...
I think it's going to be worse than Ysztola. Master of Keys, I think, is better because of the ability to do loops and have an infinite mana outlet in the command zone. Like, you don't have to find something else. You just have to get infinite mana, and then you find your win.
Yeah, I think I agree. Master Keys is better.
Is it better than Timna Sakashima?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I think it's better than Timna Sakashima.
Although you do get to play Timna in Timna Sakashima.
That's true. I would rather play Timna Sakashima than Rafine.
All right, I'm putting Rafine underneath Timna Sakashima. Is Rafine better than Tevish Ishai? Yeah, I'm
going
to say yes.
Gotta be yes, I think.
Cool. So, Aminatu, the Fate Stitcher, is another one of these little planeswalkers. For Esper, she'll come in with 3 loyalty. You can plus her up for 1 to draw a card and then put a card from your hand on top of your library. And then for -1, you exile target permanent you own. Another one, though. And then you return it to the battlefield under your control. And then for -6, you choose left or right. And each player gains control of all non-land permanents other than Aminatu, the Fate Shifter, controlled by the next player in the chosen direction.
From what I understand, this commander with Felidar Guardian, you have infinite ETBs. You minus the Aminatu on the Felidar Guardian, so flickers the Felidar Guardian. When the Felidar enters, it flickers the Aminatu, which is now fresh and can reset. And then if you have any sort of payoff for infinite back and forths, you will win the game.
I think Alter the Brood's the one that comes up the most, because it's just one colorless and it just sits there and it can just do this.
Find it with Urza Saga. It's pretty, it's a cheap thing that you can find. There are probably other ones, but Alter of Dementia is the main one.
Yeah, like Corpse Knight. Sure. Is that the name of that one? Whenever, like, there's black white cards that say whenever a creature enters, someone loses a life, or whenever a creature leaves, you gain a life, right? And you can set up like infinites in that way then too.
Realistically, I don't see this commander that often.
It's more of a Sisse card
for me. I see it in Sisse, and it's great in Sisse if you can play it with Bloom Tender and Saheeli and all these like things that work really well with. It's part of the Bolas line along with Oath of Teferi.
Yeah.
It's one of your ways to win the game. It's like your most efficient way to win the game. So it's great in Sisse. I love it there. As a commander, what it works well with just isn't enough. I mean, Wishclaw Talisman is another nice thing that you can Wishclaw Talisman, give it away, use Aminatu to flicker the Wishclaw and then bring it back. That's pretty good because you flicker something that you own, not something
that's
you control.
Funny. Yeah,
right?
You own,
right?
Not control.
Right,
yeah.
So you can flicker their Wishclaw and it's yours. You own it, so you can bring it back to you.
Yeah, that's the only upside of that, though.
Right, yeah.
Right?
What do you mean?
There's no other permanence that you
Like if someone
Gilded
Drake's your thing, yeah,
you that's can, pretty right? nuts. Yeah, Gilded Drake and the other one, Volatile
Scrum Drake.
I'm
pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah, exile another target permanent you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control.
Right. Yeah.
Owner and controller are different. Two different statuses of cards.
So it can be good against opponents, Gilded Drake's opponents, the other Gilded Drake.
Good. More cards that aren't good in CEDH right now. Yes. Also, not actually being card advantage on its own.
And the ultimate is nothing. You work so long, and like it's hard to actually make anything out of it. Out of a reliable way. Like the Tevish Sot ultimate is at least like so much advantage that you're gaining from it. You know?
Is this the new, we've been going in descending order basically. Is this the new worst Esper commander?
I want to say that it's better than the dungeon one.
It's better than Sephiroth?
I think so.
It's better than Sephiroth.
Yeah, but it's probably worse than Tevish Ishai.
I would definitely rather play Tevish Ishai.
Yeah.
Cool, well that means we have one more to talk about.
Is it a Final Fantasy one?
Yes, it is.
All right, cool.
This is a little bit weird, because if this one ends up coming out before the set review comes out, we've talked about so many Final Fantasy cards before the actual
That's
set
okay.
review. So it's Wizard's fault for spoiling all these cards so early.
Yeah.
So Noctis, Prince of Lucis, is a 4-3 for one in Esper, a human noble with lifelink, and you may cast artifact spells from your graveyard by paying 3 life in addition to paying their other cost. If you cast a spell this way, this artifact enters with a finality counter on it.
Pretty powerful. Kind of an Underworld Breach for artifacts, but you can only use the thing one time.
Just one time.
Because the finality counter says that if the thing were to die, it would get exiled instead. There is a nice thing that you can do with Mox Diamond and Aetherflux Reservoir with this out. If you have the Aetherflux Reservoir out, you can pay the life to cast the Mox Diamond from your graveyard, and then as long as you don't discard a land, the Mox Diamond will never enter, and it will go right to the graveyard, and you'll get to do it again, and every time you cast a spell, you'll gain more life, and it costs 3 life to do it every time, but Aetherflux says you'll gain life, more life, every time that you cast a spell. And it never gets the finale counter because it never enters.
It never enters.
Mox
That's
Diamond
how
never
Mox
enters.
Diamond works.
Mox Diamond's weird. It's not that it enters the battlefield trigger to discard a land. It's as it enters. It's like how clones work. So if you don't discard the land, it just goes right to the graveyard.
Which is why there's no moment for you to still tap it for mana in that second.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
That's interesting.
Wow, what an abuse of the magic rules for that. That's so funny. Yeah.
Is that good? I don't know. Because you have to have your 4-mana commander and then your 4-mana Aetherflux Reservoir and then Mox Diamond, very specifically. Yeah. There might be other things that can do a similar thing to this that I'm not aware of right now.
First thing that comes to my mind is that Hex Parasite is a card that can remove counters from things.
For 2 life a cost. But you have Aetherflux, so it doesn't matter. So
you have Aetherflux.
Hex Parasite, Aetherflux, and any 0 mana rock? But then you're in 3 cards for a combo.
Like Lotus Petal, because that just lets it go back into the graveyard.
That's
then.
Good, right? Yeah, that's
that
probably
does
good.
Seem pretty good, yeah. Is and you start off life negative for a little bit, but you eventually get up to a point where you're life positive, So if you want to throw Hex Parasite in, now like all of your rocks that sacrifice, which we have way fewer of now. I guess Jeweled Lotus is the only one that got banned, and that one doesn't really help you anyway, so.
The other issue with this is that that's all it does. There's no card advantage staple to it. Utilizing artifacts from your graveyard, Sylas does that. I would never cast Sylas.
Well, what other, I guess, what other artifacts do you want to get into your graveyard?
We've been down this road before. Once you got to dig deep for bad cards that work well with your commander, this is not a good strategy
anymore
for CDH.
You're right. But you it's all artifacts.
Some like, of the baubles, you know what I mean? The bounce bauble, the exile to graveyard bauble. You know what I'm talking about. They're
not
baubles.
Yeah, but like also like in tombs. Like you, if you just entomb Bolas of Citadel. Now you can... But you never want to hard cast Bolas of Citadel. Now I have to hard cast it
you
in addition
to
making
mana.
It worse.
You still have to pay the mana.
Yeah, and then lose 3 life, to, which is what you needed to get Bolas of Citadel cards.
I mean, I got to imagine you are in this deck playing Entomb and Bolas of Citadel. If you're going to play this deck, you're already playing Aetherflux
I'm
Reservoir.
Going all in on the artifact
you're
thing.
You're doing that.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
that good? I don't know. I don't think so.
Wow, you should just put Tivit and Time Sieve in this deck then, too.
Buried Alive. Buried Alive only gets creatures, I think.
But 3 artifact creatures. You can get Wormcoil Engine, Triplicate Titan, and then...
Nope, you get in Tivit. Tivit's an artifact, right?
Tivit's an artifact,
And then something else.
Tivit's not an artifact, dude.
Is it not?
No, I feel like we say this all of the fucking time.
Oh, really? I think I really thought Tivit was an artifact.
Tivit is not an artifact. No, I've spent years thinking that Tivit was an artifact because of all the artifact shit that he does, and he's a Sphinx.
He's just a Sphinx.
Because Shroom, the Hegemon,
that's the artifact
is an
Sphinx.
Artifact Sphinx.
Oh, what does Shroom do in this deck? Something?
Shroom enters and just returns an artifact from your graveyard.
Not really.
Shroom doesn't do shit
Shroom
for that
doesn't
deck.
Do shit, I don't think. This one, it's hard to judge. I don't know how good that combo is going to be. I don't think very good.
What does the rest of the deck do? Just good stuff?
Enable that. Yeah, just good stuff. Just fight for good stuff.
Put Malcolm Timna back together. I think Malcolm Timna. And you'll thank me.
Yeah, if you run to do Esper good stuff, you lean in Malcolm Timna. Aetherflux Mox Diamond is a combo, but so is Thassa's Oracle's Mana Constellation.
Which I guess this deck, now you get, we get an extra combo in this deck, but why? I don't want an extra combo if it's going to be bad.
Yeah, that's fair. What was our list? What was our middle area of the list?
The middle area now is more like Master of Keys.
This is... worse than Master of Keys?
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
I think worse than Master of Keys.
All right. Is it better or worse than Timna Sakashima? Timna's way better than this.
Timna's better. Okay, fine. Yeah, Timna's
better.
What
about Rafine?
Timna and, like, the blue cat is better than all of these then.
Oh, yeah, really.
Is it a bird or a cat? No, I think it's a bird,
it's
maybe.
It's a bird, yeah. The cat's sword, black. Yeah, the one that Jesper did.
Whatever, yeah.
What about Rafine? Is Noctis better than Rafine?
Yeah. I don't know.
Sure.
Who cares anymore?
I don't give a shit. Yeah.
What's the list? Where's 10 on this list? That's all of them, right? We talked about all of them?
Yeah, this is the last one. Okay. Yeah.
Where's 10 on this list?
All right. Number 10 is Tevish Ishai.
Okay. The top 10 Esper commanders from 2025 in CDH.
Here we go. Tevish Ishai is our number 10. And then our number 9 is Rafine. I hate this list so far. Oh, my God. Our number 8 is Noctis. I guess we have to go pretty
far. Card that hasn't
far.
Come out yet. Yeah. It's better than 2 cards on this list.
I guess you know, we have to stretch pretty far back into Esper Commanders to figure out the best 10 in CEDH. That's hard. Then that was our number 8. Our number 7 is Timna Sakashima. Our number 6 is the Master of Keys.
Wait, where's Xur?
Our number 5 is Yshtola. Okay. Another card that hasn't come out yet. Our number 4 is Xur the Enchanter.
Okay.
Our number 3 is Tivit. Our number 2 is Timna Malcolm. And then our number 1 is Marnius Kalgar.
I stand by this list.
This is the best list we've ever put together.
It's accurate. I think it stands by. The first 3 are viable tournament strategies. I think the first 3 have worked in tournaments before. They're good. I could see something for the 4th and the 5th. Xur and Yshtola. I could see something there. The top 5 Esper commanders are all good. And then after that, you're in Mana Constellation colors. You can win the game. Sure.
Exactly.
You can win the game. But these first 5 will win at a consistent rate.
Exactly. So let us know what other combinations of colors that have 10 CEDH commanders that you want to hear us talk about. Because I don't think we're going to do one for Jund. I think as much as I would love to, I think we'll skip Jund.
Bant.
For a couple. Yeah, Bant.
But like Grixis certainly has a few.
Bant's getting more now, though.
Bant's getting Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Ben Gillette, The Cardboard Cookbook, Penguin Man 0089, Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Zunon, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Gare Bear, Garrett, Luke Cook, Connor Stilbon, Joshua Day, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butts, Quadja, A Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby G-Bus. Thank you for reading them, Cam. Thank you, Dragon Shield 2, for supporting us directly and sponsoring the show. Use code PLAY2WIN5 for 5% off your order.
Follow us on social media for more content.
And check out our merch at PLAY2WINMTG.com.
Thanks for watching.
See you next time.
Or listening.
Woohoo! John Koba, The Gaming Kinkajou, Dan the Man, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin, Man Solo, Ace S, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Oh, sorry.
Unprofessional bullshit.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.